Hello again.
Hello there.
We were talking about some of the fun things that you liked to do in Le Grand when you were growing up, and I think you'd like to tell me some more about that today.
Oh. Well, let's see. Go back to the beginning. I didn't mention about when we were smaller, when we used to play in the mill yard out behind the house. It used to have a sluice back there. Ponds, and we used to go back there and catch pollywogs, and that was one of our pastimes, and it was fun to watch them.
Did you keep them in the house?
Keep them in a jar for a while, yeah. Baby frogs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That sounds like fun.
Yeah, and then we used to play hide and seek amongst the tailum piles, too.
Against the what?
Piles, tailum piles. We called them tailum piles, but they were piles of lumber.
Why did you call them tailum piles?
Just a name.
Did tailum stand for
something? There's lots of rocks over there on the ground, lots of rocks in that area, because the river used to, you know, be through that area a long time ago, the riverbed. Mm-hmm. And then they moved it and kept moving it. Down farther, so there was lots of rocks in that area. So I don't know, just us, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Now, what were some of the other things that you did in the area?
Well, we used to hike up Rooster Peak. It was a devil's slide, and not a lot of people went up it, but my mother went with us one time, and she got up there better than I did. There up at the very top of it, there was a divide, and you never wanted to go to the right side. You wanted to go to the left. And going up, I wasn't watching, and first thing I knew, here was this division between Mama and I. So I had to go back down, slide down, and get around the edge and go back up on the left side to where she could get a hold of my hand and pull me up by her. Mm-hmm. But it was quite exciting. We only did it once. That was enough.
That was enough?
Yes, they finally put a what? It was a no-no. No one was supposed to try to climb it because there were some that fell. You know, they'd get up there by the ways and then just fall. Of course, if you started sliding, you just slid.
Mm-hmm. Were there snakes up there?
No.
No?
No, none that I know of anyway. Mm-hmm. But that was a lot of fun. Excitement. I don't know if it was fun, but it was fun at the time, I guess. Mm-hmm. Kind of scary, too. And then we used to hike into Morgan Lake, and one way to get there was to go up Deals Canyon, this canyon up here, and then go across the top and over to the Morgan Lake. Mm-hmm. I only did that once too. That was too long for me. I preferred the road.
How long would that take you?
Oh, 2 or 3 hours. Mm-hmm. To make it over there.
That road is quite steep though. It's not an easy hike up the road.
No, but did it when you were younger. Mm-hmm. You almost need a pickup, you know, to really to go up. It's too bad a road for cars. Mm-hmm. I think.
So what did you do once you got up to the top?
Oh, just fooled around at the time. When we went up Deals Canyon across, we took our 22s along, and I had my dog too, of course. Yeah, and it was just something to do, kill time and enjoy. Mm-hmm. Just enjoy being up in the mountains.
Mm-hmm. Sounds like fun.
Mm-hmm. I think we usually had something to eat too. In the times I hiked, I've been up there several times, but the actual time I hiked up there, up the road, we just went up for the day just to hike. And then we had snacks up there. before we turned around and came back.
You had a lot of roller skating adventures too, didn't you?
Yeah, we used to roller skate down to Riverside Park. A group of us would go down there in the evening and build up a big bonfire in the fireplace and roller skate. Mother went along with us several times too. She liked to roller skate. She was with us the time when we roller skated out to Alma City and back too.
That's quite a long ways.
Mm-hmm. Yes, but you know, during that time, there was some traffic at night, like there is now. You wouldn't dare do anything like that anymore around the Grand. Mm-hmm. But at that time, I don't think I don't remember even meeting a car, going or coming.
Were there sidewalks?
No. You mean going out to Alma City? No, no. There was just a two-lane. Where, what is it now, five-lane?
So you were just on the highway?
Mm-hmm. Roller skating the highway. Yeah. It was smoother then, too, because you didn't have the traffic then like you do now. Yeah. I don't think roller skating would be too much fun on the streets nowadays because they're too grooved.
They're awfully
from
rough.
Traffic.
Mm-hmm. Did you do any swimming?
Yes, we used to go swimming up in the rivers, mainly because of not having money to go to the pools. There used to be a swimming pool across the viaduct on 2nd Street, just at the end of the viaduct on the west side of it. There was a Crystal Plunge called.
Crystal Plunge?
Mm-hmm. And it was quite a popular swimming place, really. And we used to get to go there once in a while when we could afford it. And
was that an outdoor swimming pool?
Mm-hmm. Yes. Remember the city?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I don't know whatever happened, but it wasn't there too many years, but it was there for quite a while. And then we used to swim once in a while over a cove in the swimming pool, but most of our swimming was down the river or over at grandmother's in the ditch, irrigating ditch, because it was free.
Where were the popular river swimming holes?
Oh, one was at Oradell Bridge, underneath Oradell Bridge, and the other one was up at underneath the Bridge of Perry. We preferred the one up at Perry because the one at Oradell, if you didn't keep your legs going, the eels would come up and try to attach to your legs.
Oh, no.
I didn't like them. Mm-hmm. They wouldn't hurt you or anything. I mean, seriously, you know. But they did have eels in the one there at Oradell Bridge.
What river was that?
Grand Round River.
Grand Round River.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the same river that flows under the Perry Bridge?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the same river comes down from Starkey and winds around and down past Perry and through LeGrand, through Island City, and on out through the valley to Elgin, until it finally meets up with the Loyal River out at Rondell.
Did a lot of kids use the swimming hole?
Quite a few. Mm-hmm. I think it's still popular. The one up at Perry, I think, is still popular, yeah. Mm-hmm. And then there's one up at what we call the NK West Ranch, up along the Grand Round River. After you turn to go to Starkey, there's a very popular one up there where you could really dive into it. It was big enough you could dive into it. And I think it's probably the only one that's really popular now.
Mm-hmm. Did you ever ride the train?
I had the opportunity once to go on the engine It was hooked onto a freight train, and some friends of my mother and dad's was an engineer, and he made arrangements for us to sneak on the backside of the engine just before it snuck out of the yards. And we, there was a friend of my family's that had a son that was about my age, but he wanted to go too. And his stepfather was an engineer also on the road. So we felt pretty secure getting the chance to go. So they snuck us on and hid us until the engine went out. And then we got to sit there and act like we were engineers.
What was that like?
Pull the the whistle on the train.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, it was a thrill. Dirty, but a thrill.
Why was it so dirty?
It's just hanging out the windows to see what was coming and where the and then you'd always want to look back and see the train coming along behind you. And of course, when you did that, well, then you got cinders and kind of a smoke, you know, that wasn't very clean.
Mm-hmm.
So we were sort of grimy when we got off and had our mothers meet us.
And these were coal engines on the train?
I'm not positive, can't remember now if that was a coal burner or an oil burner. It was one or the other.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, big old Mallies.
Do you recall any other events that have to do with the train?
Used to ride the Sumter Valley train over to John Day. It's it was one that you could run from one end of it to the other, more of a, because you knew everybody that was on it. The conductor, Tony, I still remember his first name, but not his last. And you'd board it at Baker and then ride it over to Prairie City. And then your grandmother would always meet us there at the depot to take us on down to the ranch.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and it was always fun. We went over there one time in the wintertime, and I took my dog along, and the Sumter Valley, going over the mountain, you get about halfway over there, and then they'd have to back up on the spur line and load up with slab wood again. So they could keep the power going. And while they were loading up, my dog jumped off into the snowbank and sunk clear out of sight. And I had to get down there and get him back onto the train. It was a character. But it was fun riding it because you could run from one end to the other. The conductor would even take you. He was real friendly.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, it was kind of a boring trip for kids. Unless your mother made you sit real still like you were supposed to. But normally there wasn't many people on there, so you could almost do whatever you wanted to.
Mm-hmm. Could you get up and move around?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you could. You could walk around. There's usually just one passenger car, and a box baggage car, and then the engine. Sometimes they might have more than one car, just depend, or they might have more than one mail car, too.
Mm-hmm.
Just depend on the amount of business that they had going over. Mm. It was fun, but they finally took it off and just had a regular stage, automobile stage, kind of a truck-like thing that I guess you would call it like a van is today, only a larger one.
And that was carrying mail?
The van, the car, it carried passengers and cars,
mm-hmm.
or passengers and mail, mainly mail, Mm-hmm. But they always had room for at least two or three passengers, something like that. Mm-hmm. And we had to, I remember riding that once, going over to my grandpa's funeral. My mother was already over there, so my cousin and I rode over on it.
Were there any train wrecks in this area?
Lots of train wrecks, I would say, at least. Well, not, I shouldn't say lots, but yes, there were several train wrecks with coal and oil burner engines.
Mm-hmm.
Why? I wouldn't know. But they did have them. I could have been, I don't know, it could have been maybe tracks or something like that, you know, causing it. I don't remember the exact reason, except for the one that was a head-on wreck up towards Tallahassee, between here and North Powder. It usually was when they were climbing
mm-hmm.
through there.
Did or you going see that wreck?
Yes, we went up and saw it. We had to walk quite a little ways, you know, across the sagebrush
mm-hmm.
area, but we did get to go over there to where it was.
Do you remember when that occurred?
In the 30s.
Mm-hmm. And your father was working on that railroad, or working for the railroad during that wreck?
Yes, he was. That's probably why we knew that it was up there. And then they used to have them up here between LeGrand and Pendleton, too, but we didn't go to those. We didn't go up near those. It was usually in the mountains and then a little harder area to get to. But this one up here was a lot easier to get to.
What was it like to see that?
Oh, scary. Yeah. Let's see. Well, that one was on the bridge. And it looks like maybe the bridge might have, maybe the bridge had given away or something. Maybe high water or something. Because there's one up and lying on it.
Was anyone injured?
I don't remember. I'm pretty sure that some of them, well, yes, I do remember that some once in a while there were some killed, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Weren't too lucky. That's a closer up view of it.
Were you able to get pretty close to the wreckage?
You could go as close as you dared get without, you know, getting them away
mm-hmm.
of the machine, the wrecker machine that was up there to pull everything back up. You didn't dare get too close. They probably told you to get out.
Were there a lot of people from the community watching them try
yeah,
to clean up the
there
wreck?
Was, there were quite a few people that mm-hmm. went out to view it.
Was your dad involved in this wreck at all?
Just in repairing or helping tear them up mm-hmm. after they were brought back into the yards. Into the roundhouse. Sometimes they were destroyed too much to be of much good. There isn't any dates on them. There might want to be when we were in high school. Dancing?
Mm-hmm.
Well, Saturday night dances were something that we gals look forward to, because in those days you wore formals when you went to dances. And my mother used to make Faye Weimer Walker, or Faye Walker Weimer, I should say, dress us alike. She and her brother, Alfred, their last name was Walker, and my brother and I, of course, were Walkers, so we used to say we were brother and sisters, but we were no relation at all. Had a lot of people fooled, though, all through high school that didn't know the difference. But we weren't. But she was, they were both ahead of my brother and I in high school, too. But Mother always made us dress us alike for many, many years. But we used to go to the Eagles Lodge. It used to be down beside the Elks Lodge. They had a building right next to the Elks Lodge. And they had dances on Saturday night. And Faith and Alfred's parents belonged to the Eagles Lodge, so we got to go there to their dances. But the main place was the Zuber Hall. And that was down on Washington, back of the Sacagawea Hotel Annex. Mm-hmm. And that was the dance hall in this valley. And it was called the Zuber Hall. And
do you know where it got its name?
It was named after the people that ran it. There was a man and woman, and they used to always be there. He took tickets, and she was in the hat and coat room.
Mm-hmm. So this was a formal affair?
No, not especially. Nope. No, it was, you could go in just, you know, street clothes or mm-hmm. whatever. And they had formal dances there, yes. But most of the Saturday night dances were just nice clothes, mm-hmm. dresses. You never saw what girls in slacks and stuff then. Mm-hmm.
Was there an age requirement?
If you were very young, you had to be attended by your parent, but a lot of parents came and sat in the balcony. There used to be a balcony around it mm-hmm. on three sides, and you could sit up there in the balcony and watch. Yeah.
What was the dance floor like?
It was really smooth, nice floor, and benches all around that you could sit on, and restrooms, and then up in one corner was where the band played, and it was a local band.
What kind of music did they play?
Dick Lindsay had a band, and there were quite a few. Well, must have been five or six, maybe, or more, that played with him. He also played for the old-time dances on Thursday nights, too. He had old-time dances for our parents. But that's where I used to go with my parents when we were older. We could go and watch them. And at that time, like girls, young girls, they could dance together on the floor mm-hmm. amongst their parents. They didn't mind.
Mm-hmm. Did they serve food at the Zuber Hall?
No. No.
Drinks?
No.
No?
Mm-mm. Didn't need them. You just enjoyed dancing. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Did they charge admission?
Mm-hmm. Definitely. I don't remember now, but it wasn't the fee that you have to pay now, mm-hmm. of course. But it was there for many, many years. Really a nice dance hall. We hate to see them close it down.
When did they close it down?
I'm not positive of the date now. Mm-hmm. But
were there any other dancing experiences that you had in La Grande?
No, just those two places. And kitchen sweats, we used to go.
Kitchen sweats?
We call them kitchen sweats, but it was out at Imler. And sometimes out at the Blue Mountain Grange, and they'd have box socials, and you'd take boxes of, you know, your lunch. You'd pick some lunch and put it in a basket or a box and take it. And that was the way they made a little bit extra money for the groups, too.
So then those...
You would bid, men would bid on the boxes or the baskets.
Oh.
They still do that. The Grange, the Square Dance Bunch here in McGrand, they had one here just last Saturday night where they bid on the baskets or whatever they were brought in, the lunch was brought in.
Why did you call them kitchen sweats?
that was more or less... originally, they used to be danced in homes. People that had larger homes, they would get a bunch in and dance, so they call them kitchen sweats because it was hot and warm to get that many bodies swinging around. And that was just what we ended up calling them. Probably wasn't the proper name. The one out of Emperor, I think, used to be held in it was held in one of the halls out there, lodge halls, I think. And usually it was in the fall, around harvest time.
You mentioned once that you danced at a hotel. Was that a school activity that you did?
Oh, you mean the Jolly Baker Burns banquet?
No,
or
where you danced a minuet?
Oh, that. Yeah, that was in grade school.
Can you tell me more about that?
Yes, our whole class was involved in it. And we learned to do the minuet, and we had costumes with white hair and everything. It was cotton hair. And it was, we really thought we were something, and that we were invited to put on this minuet dance up at the Le Grand Hotel, which is where it was situated, where the old Safeway store used to be on the corner of Adams and, what was it, 4th?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And it was just super. It was, when you walked into the place, the lounge, or whatever you call the entrance of the hotel, the lounge, was all draped. The drapes were all red velvet, and the furniture was red velvet, and the carpet was even red sculptured, you know. And then upstairs in the hallway where we were dancing, the drapes were all red velvet, too. It was just plush.
Did they have chandeliers?
Yes, they had chandeliers in the hotel. It was a beautiful hotel.
And that was the Le Grand Hotel.
Mm-hmm.
Now tell me more about the Jolly Baker Burns celebration. What is that?
It was just a group of Scotch people that lived here in McGrand that decided to celebrate the birthday of Robert Burns, a famous poet from Scotland. And they celebrated, you know, various places all over the country. Baker used to celebrate it, and I know LeGrand used to have it, and it's supposed to be on January the 25th, which is his birth date. And just a bunch of them got together, and they invited anyone who was interested. It was open to the public if they were interested, but it was mainly to get the Scotch people to come.
Where was this event held?
In the Sacagawea Inn, and it was upstairs in the dance hall was where they set it up, because there was normally quite a few people there.
So did they serve dinner?
Yes, they served dinner, and they had a program, and usually they had a piper, or else they always had a piper, because one of the dishes that they brought in was called haggis, and it was a special dish for the Scotch people, and it had to be piped in because it was so special.
Can you tell me more about that? What did it taste like?
Oh, it just tasted like a pudding to me. Just not, didn't have a high taste of any kind.
Was it sweet, like a dessert?
Just sort of in between, little. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But it was molded. It was cooked in a clute.
Cooked in a what?
Cooked in a clute.
Now, what is a clute?
Cloth after this.
It was a large organization, you said?
Yeah, that attended it. This was one of them. You can see the members. Quite a few people. Mm-hmm. That was it.
What was it like at the Sacagawea Hotel?
Oh, it was a very pretty hotel. You went into the lobby, I guess I should say, and then it had a big winding stairway that went up one side of the lobby up to the upstairs.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It was all marble. The stairs were all marble. It was pretty. Coffee shop off to the side of it, and dining. And then they had a dining and they had places for people to dine there too, if you had, you know, more than what they had, they could fix you up. And then at the back side of the lobby they had this another area that was quite large, and it was more like a bar and places you could eat in there too, I guess. I wasn't familiar with that section, but later on the American Legion, before they had a hall of their own, they met there.
Mm-hmm.
They had that back section of the lobby was their meeting area. And then upstairs was the big dance hall, and then they had a small hall also off to the side.
Do you recall the dishes in the hotel?
Yes, I have some here. not very many, but I have one dish up there.
Can you describe or explain some of the items on the menu?
Yes, I can try to tell you anyway, as much as I know, not being a thoroughbred Scotchman, just part. But anyway, the menu was consisted of toast, and a wee nippy was a little Scotch drink, Scotch whiskey.
Okay.
And haggis was the piped-in main dish, and they also had a toast to it. This toast is a wee nippy. And of course, see, there's toast, and mare nippy is another wee toast, and bubbly jock. Bubbly jock was their meat, and I'm trying to remember what kind of meat it was. But anyway, bubbly jock was their meat dish. Hashed patties was potatoes, and buttered kale was kale. And kale was a vegetable, a regular vegetable. And the hashed meats is turnips, and then of course another mare nippy. And roll scones, that was your bread. And oat cakes was also like a bread, only they were a little coarser. And Trimlin Tom was their dessert. And trifle was like a pudding. They still make trifle, I think a lot of people do, where it's made in a round kind of tall bowl, and it's layered with cake and fruit and jello and stuff like that, and then fruit cake and shortbread. Fruit cake is usually the dark fruit cake with fruit candied fruit and things in it, and shortbread is the Scotch shortbread, and that's just made out of flour, sugar, and butter, and very good. In fact, we make it all the time. It's like a cookie.
Mm-hmm.
And then tea and coffee, of course.
How long did this celebration go on in the Grand?
Oh, well, let's see, it started in... started in 35. It only lasted, I would say, probably about 4 years before it fell apart. Mm-hmm. And the one in Baker, I don't think it lasted that long because of the Scotch people, different ones coming and going. And then the war came along. So there was, of course, nothing like that hardly done around any place, I don't think, during the wartime.
Mm-hmm.
Things were too scarce.
After the first year, was your family looking forward to this celebration?
Oh, we always look forward to it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Nan Thornburg used to be, she was more or less instigator of it. She and Mrs. Milne, that used to be in the Grand here, she and her husband ran a nursery up on 10th or 11th Street. It's down below, it was down below the College Hill. If you're familiar with that area, down below the hill, you know where that road winds up to
mm-hmm.
the back end of the college?
Mm-hmm.
Well, it used to be right down in that area below that hill, and it was quite a wooded area. And there's evidence of a lot of it around that big white two-story house over to the left. It used to be called... J.C. Penney store manager lived there. Can't think of his name right now. But anyway, Milnes ran that nursery, and they were both Scotch people. He was a brick mason, and he helped build the New Westminster Hotel in Vancouver, B.C.
Mm-hmm.
If you've probably heard of it, where they have high tea.
Mm-hmm.
And she and Nan Thornburg were the main ones that started this Jolly Digger Burns banquet here in LeGrand. Mm-hmm. And of course, Dad being Scotch was in on it too, mm-hmm. with their insistence. And their husbands, and then Alec McKenzie, a farmer out of in the Imbler area. He was one of the members and one of the big helpers too. Those were the main ones here in LeGrand that were behind it.
Mm-hmm.
Wendy Wilkins, a real estate man, he lived to go to him too. He was one of the biggest wee nippers.
Sounds like it was a lot of fun.
They did have fun. It sounded like he said what he liked was the wee nippies, the mare nippies.